The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
Hey guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is sort of kind of round two. Welcome to a big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. I am Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. Thank you so much to our international listeners. I see you guys hanging out in the chat room. I appreciate you guys so much, and also the conversation we had on social media was very, very stimulating. Thank you for everybody who sent updates regarding today's subject matter. We're going to delve into this R. Kelly case again. Again, get some updates from some people who are working on the inside, those who are, who are experts in their field, and who can definitely give us more facts versus opinion. Later on in the show, we will have retired Officer Stan Mason and Judge Joe Brown joining us, and hopefully a few others will join us as well. Thank you so much for the people who are already in the room. Wow, it's piling up. So let's get to it, because we don't know how long we're going to have Attorney Gerald Griggs. So right now what I want to do, I'm not even going to cut to commercial. I'm going to go on and open up his mic. Welcome, welcome, Attorney Griggs. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, considering I'm operating on no sleep for about 26 hours. I'm doing all right.
Tavis, you are out there on the front line doing a wonderful job. I want to definitely give you an applause. Yes, thank you, thank you. Real quick, just for the people who don't know, we do have a lot of new listeners and young listeners as well. Can you give us a little of your backstory? Tell us who you are and why you're qualified to have today's conversation.
Okay, I'm an attorney, been practicing law for 14 years. I've handled some of the most high-profile cases in the state of Georgia, and I currently am one of the lead counsel for the family of Joycelyn Savage, who is currently residing with Robert Sylvester Kelly, also known as the artist R. Kelly. We've been on this campaign for the last 2 years to get Joycelyn Savage back. I also represent a couple other of the accusers who were featured in Surviving R. Kelly, and we are trying to make sure that Mr. Robert Sylvester Kelly is brought to justice and Joycelyn Savage is brought home. So, as you may know, he was arrested this week for failing to pay his child support. He's also facing 10 counts of aggravated child sexual abuse for four different accusers, two of which have DNA evidence. So we're just trying to make sure we hold the sexual predator accountable. So we just got back from New York City and filming with Gail King, who will be having a special at 8 o'clock on CBS. But we talk about the R. Kelly case. As you guys saw, the explosive interview with Robert Sylvester Kelly earlier this week, where he became an internet sensation like none other. I think he replaced the crying Jordan meme with the crying pedophile meme. So that's kind of who I am, what I'm doing. Open to your opinions, but I will give you the straight facts, no chaser. And this is about holding a pedophile accountable for the damage he's done to African-American women for the last 25 years. I've spoken to a majority of the individuals who have accused him. There are 48 accusers. Eight were featured in the Surviving R. Kelly special, four of which are now named victims in the 10-count indictment. And there are two independent investigations occurring right now in Fulton County and one out of the state of New York that I can't really get into. But that's kind of where we are to catch you guys up.
All right. Real quick, I just want to take you on a journey. I want you to just respond to some very, very short clips. All of them are under a minute. Well, one is about a minute long. And I just want you to respond again, because I'm just trying to get a little bit of a backstory. Here's the first clip.
All of this nonsense, and I have been spending no time with him. This is real. This is not a lie. What kind of woman would tear down a dad who's trying to have a relationship with their kids? You know how many kids need a relationship with their father?
What is your relationship with your
children? Oh, my God. Zero.
What kind of grown man would pee on other people's kids? Listen, man.
All right. So thank you to The Breakfast Club. You heard Charlamagne in the back. Of course, he mentioned the fact that R. Kelly urinated on a young person. I don't think they were able to identify her. But for 5 seconds there, I had some empathy for him. What are your thoughts, Attorney Griggs?
My thoughts is he hadn't talked to his daughter in 13 years. Save it. You haven't paid child support in 10 years. Save it. Drea told us exactly who you were during the relationship. Save it. I'm not buying these crocodile tears. You are crying because you've been caught. And so to go on national television and pretend like there's some sort of conspiracy to bring you down. No, what's happening is you're facing your moment of accountability. I told Mr. Kelly's managers 2 years ago, all we wanted was contact with Joycelyn Savage. It took us getting to the point we are right now for him to put Joycelyn Savage on the phone. So I really don't feel sorry for him. And I appreciate my friend Charlamagne for keeping it real. We knew that he peed on RL, who's named in the indictment, the young lady who was 14 years old that was not able to be identified. We can identify her now in two of the new child molestation tapes that are out there. So save it.
Okay. All right. So I've got another audio clip. Would love your response.
About Azriel Clary, who lives with R. Kelly still. You know, Azriel Clary and Joycelyn Savage were there doing interviews as well with R. Kelly, watching from the background, from behind the door. They said he tried to stop the interview a couple of times, but he didn't end up really stopping it. But I guess things got very touchy. Well, it turns out that according to Azriel Clary, her parents were trying to blackmail R. Kelly. Here's what she's saying.
When I was 17, my parents were actually making me, trying to get me to take photos with him, take sexual videos with him. And they said, because if they ever have to blackmail him, what they're trying to do now, they can use it against him, which is exactly what they're doing. Both of our parents are basically out here trying to get money and scam.
That's crazy. Now,
all right, so what is your response? She said, Joycelyn said her parents were trying to scam him.
And I said on Wednesday at a national press conference where all media was present, if that's the case, prove it, Joycelyn. Show the receipts. Show the request for money. I've been in this case for 2 years. We haven't asked for a dime. We haven't taken a dime. We haven't received a dime. This is laughable. The fact that R. Kelly was in the room, he was coughing and making noises after he told Gayle King that he was going to leave the room and they'd have an independent interview with these young ladies, and ask Joycelyn what happened right after we had our national press conference when she finally talked to her young sister, Jory, and she couldn't stick to the script. So, again, we know that he coaches these young ladies. Dominique Gardner, who was a young lady who just got out of the house, if you saw Surviving R. Kelly, issued a statement this morning saying that they practiced and they prepped for these type of interviews, so they stayed on the script. Everything is fine. Come down to Atlanta. We'll meet you in Nashville. We'll have a face-to-face. We'll have our psychiatrist there, our psychologist. R. Kelly won't be anywhere, and we'll get to the bottom of this. We'll bring your grandmother. We'll bring your aunts. We'll bring your uncles. We'll bring your entire family. You tell the entire family that and watch what happens. I bet you she breaks. I bet you she'll tell the truth, because at no point have the family asked for any money. Had the family sold their daughter. My client, Tim Savage, has never met R. Kelly. So all of these falsehoods that R. Kelly put up there, tonight you will see in real time why we flew up to New York to clear up the falsehoods. You'll see it on CBS. Watch Gayle King's interview.
All right. One of two, and then we'll see if anyone has a quick question for you, because I know you got to go. All right, so listen to this.
That's crazy.
Now, according to Azriel Clary, she says that her parents actually forced her to do certain things. Here's what she said.
My parents made singing like a job for me. It's not something I wanted to do. Not only that, I even tried to kill myself because I did not want to sing, as a cry out for help to tell them this is not what I want to do with my life. This is not how I want to spend my life.
Yeah, your father told me that you had tried to take your life, and that the only thing that made you happy was singing.
No.
And that's why
that's
he became involved.
What is the point of this interview?
I don't know, because he's not on trial for anything that has to do with these young ladies. He's not being charged with anything with Azriel Clary or Joycelyn Savage. It's a 14-year-old from...
If anything, those women are vouching for his character and saying he's a good guy and basically saying that everybody else's allegations are not true. Like, I don't
that
understand.
He saved them.
Yeah, I don't understand the point of this interview, especially after you did the Surviving R. Kelly doc. You got him charged with 10 counts. He's going to prison. Why try to humanize him in any way by doing this anyway?
Maybe they're trying to show both sides. I don't know. I have no idea.
Why do you need to see both
But
sides
I do know that R. Kelly's camp now also is reaching out to Bill Cosby's publicist for some help. Yes.
My goodness.
This is just getting stupider and stupider.
They're actually reaching out to Cosby spokesman Andrew Wyatt. Now, he said they're still in discussions about joining his legal team as a crisis manager, but Wyatt does still represent Bill Cosby.
Do you know Bill Cosby's in prison? Does he know Bill Cosby's in jail right now?
Yeah,
he might not know.
All right, so real quick, Attorney Griggs, the first thing is, what was the point of the interview? Was it to humanize him? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts, and I had this conversation with Gail last night. The purpose of the interview was to get the truth about what's happening with Azriel and Joycelyn. And she even feels that they couldn't get the truth because it was staged and it was scripted. She said that she couldn't answer difficult questions, that R. Kelly was in the room, that he was looming over everybody. And so I don't know. The better question would be to ask his publicist why R. Kelly even sat down to do an interview when you're facing 10 counts, 70 years in prison, and that you're given an interview where you storm out, you rant and rave, you look like you're about to strike a grown woman, and you show the predatory and abusive behavior that you're charged with. With regard to Joycelyn and Azriel, we know they're suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. We know that they told several falsehoods that can easily be dispelled, like the fact that they love singing. Simple YouTube search of Joycelyn and Azriel will show them how they were before Robert Sylvester Kelly, loving to sing, enjoying singing, being out, hanging out with their family, their friends. These are 21 and 23-year-old women who have no contact with their family, have no social media accounts, have not been seen by anybody for well over 2 to 3 years, and now they're placed on national television, and they don't answer simple questions. Gail asked a question to Azriel, what is your normal day like? She froze like a deer in headlights. So, again, we understand what R. Kelly's trying to do. He's trying to win in a court of public opinion, but it's not going to work with staged interviews. And so we will start releasing receipts. We've already released many of them. There are tapes that clearly show that this is staged. There are tapes that show the predatory behavior and the training and the mind control. We have several of the members of the Surviving R. Kelly that will talk about it. Dre R. Kelly talks about it. So I think he needs to be more worried about the two investigations that are going on instead of trying to put together staged interviews.
And what do you think his reason for soliciting help from Bill Cosby's publicist?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to be in the same place Bill Cosby is because a publicist is not going to help him get out of this. He needs a good legal team. I'm not really waging this battle in the media. We're dealing with the prosecutors. We already got 10 counts on one. We got a case that's growing in Fulton County. We got a case that's growing in other jurisdictions. And Dominique Gardner is now coming forward. She's the last young lady to leave the house. And when she talks to the prosecution, we will see the depths that he went to stage, to script, and to make sure the truth doesn't come out. So I'm not concerned. He should be concerned. He might need to get a lawyer.
Right. And just to make it clear, do you think that this interview hurt his case? And do you think he's going to prison this time?
I think he admitted to child sex trafficking when he tried to allege that girls were sold to him. I mean, who does that? Who goes on national TV and says girls were sold to him? First off, no girl was sold to him, but that's an admission in and of itself. And if a girl was sold to you, where's the receipts? Where's the money? You say you can barely come up with $161,000, but all of these allegations came because you stopped paying people. Let's be real. You never paid the Savages one dime. And if you did, I want you to produce the I-9s, produce the receipts, produce the money that went into my trust account because I've been with them for 2 years, so the money would have to come through me. It never happened. And to put a young lady on television to lie is just it's horrible. We could see through that facade, and we're going to break it down for national television tonight, and then we're going to deal with it one lie at a time starting on Monday because his new publicist has to Monday at 12 to put Joycelyn Savage in front of her family in person in a neutral city, whether that's Nashville, Memphis, or Atlanta. We're not going to Chicago because there are too many threats in Chicago. We've been threatened twice by members of Mr. Kelly's camp. Mr. Kelly's camp was threatening people at that interview. So we know what's really going on. And I appreciate the Breakfast Club for breaking it down. Charlamagne's a good friend of mine. Angela Yee's a good friend of mine. By really breaking it down, that was staged.
All right, so this last clip is a compliment of Reza Islam. We just talked to him about the man crisis, and he had something very, very interesting to say. I'd like to for you to share your viewpoint regarding this audio.
Going on dealing with R. Kelly, and I see all of these so-called celebrities, comedians, and people talking and running your mouth and being very quick to jump on it as an opportunity to be a prostitute for likes and views. How many of you have a very short memory because you forget that this is the same system that helps to destroy a black man completely, and you are helping this system to destroy a black man who is already going down, a brother's already going down, so why are you going to help to kick the brother while he's already going down? I didn't see any of you making any memes or videos as it pertains to the Pope or the Vatican or these over 6,000 Catholic priests who are found to be involved with little boys just 2 weeks ago, maybe over the last week and a half. I didn't see anybody do anything about that. So, Reza, are you justifying what he did? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is if he is guilty, then let the man go to jail, but we don't need to sit here and continue to stab him and help the system to keep stabbing him while he's already going down. See, we are the only group of people who do this, and it is a goddamn embarrassment. Harvey Weinstein, Mick Jagger, Hugh Hefner, Steven Tyler, blast him as well. Oh, and make sure you keep the same energy when the enemy comes after all of y'all, because he absolutely will. I guarantee that.
All right, so are we doing injustice? I mean, are we helping to destroy black men and just feeling a certain way, glorifying this, I guess, by way of interviews, recycling the same information?
First and foremost, I have the most respect for my brother, Reza Islam. I've met him numerous times. But he's simply wrong on this issue because I've been in this case for 2 years. And my question is, where was all of the black men when these women were being brutalized? I've spoken to half of the survivors. Where were they when they were chained in closets, having to pee in cups and buckets and having to eat feces and having to do threesomes with individuals and all kinds of stuff? So here's my thing. I'm on the front line. Whether it's police brutality, whether it's the women's movement, women's march, whether it's Black Lives Matter, so you can pull my receipts. I will be there, and I've been in the courtroom for 14 years fighting for brothers. But I fight for innocent brothers. I fight for individuals who don't damage our community. So nobody's piling on with Mr. Robert Sylvester Kelly. But my question is, when are we going to stand up for black women? Because these are black women that he's brutalized. And so, again, with all due respect to my brother, he's a little mistaken on this one. And let's put the real facts out there. Harvey Weinstein goes on trial in June. He will be convicted. Kevin Spacey goes on trial next month. He's going to be convicted. Jeffrey Epstein goes on trial later this spring. He's going to be convicted. They just sent a cardinal to prison for life in the Vatican. So let's not have these false equivalencies. So it's okay for a certain group of people to brutalize kids, and we just ignore that because they're a certain skin complexion? No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So if we're talking about being for black people, that means being for all black people. I don't ever want to see a brother of mine go to prison. But when he breaks the law and he gets convicted, it's time for him to go to prison. I've been doing it for 14 years. So my question to these brothers that are saying all these things, where are you when I'm in courtroom with a brother sitting next to me facing four life sentences? I don't see y'all marching and doing anything at that point. So don't come in this case when I put blood, sweat, tears, death threats, and families on the line because you don't want to not hear R. Kelly's music anymore. R. Kelly told you who he was. He said, I'm the Pied Piper. Do some research on what the Pied Piper is. He said age ain't nothing but a number when he was marrying Aaliyah at 15. Listen to what his music teacher told him when he was in his teen years. He said, she said, Robert, you got to stop messing with them young girls. This man is 52 years old, messing with 20-year-olds. He said in the interview with Gayle King, I don't see age. I just see legal. Really? Remember what he told Torrey? He asked him, do you like young girls? He said, what do you mean by young girls? I mean, I like them if they like 19. I got some 19-year-old friends. He right there at the line. I submit to you he's over the line because I know of at least 7 14-year-olds. So we got to get real. If we protect the African-American community, we got to protect the entire African-American community. So I would love to sit down and have a conversation with my brother Riza Islam. I'll bring some of the survivors. He can have a conversation with them, let them tell him the brutality that's happened, and I think he'd change his mind.
Explain double jeopardy to us, for those of us who don't know what's going on, because I thought that he couldn't be tried twice for the same incident. And where did this videotape just surface out of nowhere? A lot of this case was just confusing.
It didn't surface out of nowhere. R. Kelly was known to videotape his sexual encounters with underage girls. And so in the first case, it was a child pornography case against a 14-year-old girl who we know who she is. They were unable to identify the girl in the tape because she didn't testify and he paid off the family. So that's why he was acquitted. His lawyer just came out today and said, previous lawyer, he was guilty as hell. That's what his lawyer just said. So he was able to beat that case. But you can't be tried for the same offense on the same victim on the same day. This new tape is a different day, a different offense, but the same victim. So double jeopardy doesn't apply. But then you have three other victims who were not in the first case. Completely different victims, completely different days, completely different tapes, completely different acts. And two pieces of DNA evidence where he spit on one and ejaculated on another, and it got caught on his shirt. And he spit on one and ejaculated on another one, and it was caught on some pants or another piece of fabric. Both of the DNA profiles match Robert Sylvester Kelly. So for him to get up there and say, I've already beaten this charge. No, you didn't beat this charge. It's a different tape, different day, different act. So you got to beat this case in a court of law. And I promise you, it's hard to beat DNA.
Yeah, and the very last thing I want to say, is there anything you'd like to share, that any information that isn't already being recycled, because so many people have already analyzed this thing, broke it down, anything that you'd like us to know, anything that we should be doing to assist your efforts at this time, if you could share that, and then I just want you to have a very, very brief conversation before we let you go with Officer Sand, because I just want to make sure I touched on everything, because I just want to make sure I get out facts and less opinion.
The main thing I want people to know, this is a very tough time in our country, especially in our community, because we are dealing with issues that we have not talked about ever, and we're talking about them in a very public way. But we have to remember that there are survivors out here that are being triggered by what's happening in real time. This is the reason why a lot of survivors don't come forward, because they are told that their story didn't matter, it didn't happen, they blame the victim. It's time out for victim blaming. We need to evaluate the cases on the strength of the evidence, put it in front of a jury, and let the jury decide. I'm not condemning R. Kelly because I don't like R. Kelly. I'm condemning R. Kelly because I know the evidence. I know the facts. And it will go in front of a jury in Cook County, a jury in Fulton County, and potentially a jury in New York. And what we need to understand is this. We've known who he was for 25 years. and we did nothing. We have scores of young ladies that keep coming forward and saying the same thing, that don't know each other. And so for us to be over here having our opinions, trying to blame the parents, trying to blame everybody else, listen to the man's music. If you want to still play his music, I don't play his music, but if you just listen to his music, R. Kelly tells on himself. And so what I would say is, if you don't know the facts, study the facts. Go read the indictment, the charging document in Cook County. Go read the last case. Go into the transcript and see why he got off. Have a conversation with his last lawyer. He just wrote an article in the Chicago Sun-Times, said the man was clearly guilty. And let's have a real conversation about what justice looks like. Because if we expect the system to be fair, we got to be fair to each other. Listen, if our brother commits a crime, we support him, he gets convicted, he's a criminal. I mean, we have to rehabilitate him, bring him back into the community, but some people are just not redeemable. And so I just want us to understand that this is not about tearing down a black man. This is about bringing a predator to justice. This is about giving black women a voice. This is about believing survivors, because it took three documentaries, one song, one interview, 48 accusers, eight women that were in the documentary, 50 witnesses for us to even get to this point. And the reason I took that much is because people didn't want to believe black women. I believe black women because I've talked to them. I've talked to these families. I've talked to R. Kelly's lawyers. I've talked to his managers. My clients have been threatened by his managers. So what I want people to do is to stop going off their opinion and go off the facts. You do that, you'll get to the same place a lot of people are, and that's done with Robert Sylvester Kelly.
Right. I just want to say this, and because this is on my heart. It pisses me off that there are a lot of people who assisted his effort, and they're not. I hate that a lot of these same people are capitalizing on this moment and diluting
what,
this, you know,
what
the energy,
think,
and it makes me angry.
What makes you think that they aren't going to be held accountable? I told you there are two other investigations going on right now. Everybody that facilitated in the child trafficking ring will be held accountable. I can't go into detail, but I can tell
right.
you this. There are two independent investigations occurring as we speak.
Well, I am very, very happy to hear that, because I do not think he is the only person who should go down. I just feel that way, and it really, really upsets me. And it also upsets me, like I said, there are a couple moments when he pulled at my heartstring. One, when I know, you know, we know he can't read, and then he was saying that people are just stealing his money, and he doesn't have any money. And it just, it's really, really sad that so many people jump ship when this person can't, you know, support them the way that he had been all these years when they were promoting him and promoting this insanity. And it just upsets me, yes, that this person is just like standing alone, so to speak. But, you know, then I get a reality check and I come back, you know, but it's just, oh my gosh. Yes, this is a lot. All right. So last thing, Officer Stan, please come in just in case I forgot anything before Attorney Joe Griggs got to go. Is there anything else that you'd like to say that would help bring some light to this situation and give us hope so that we won't assume what Reza was saying, that, we're helping to destroy black men, but also we're kind of, this is a segue to bring down even more men or bring back men who have been acquitted of crimes, because if they let this go, then possible anybody who's been acquitted of a crime, you know, could be brought back, I guess, you know, to trial court. However, help me fill in the blanks.
You want me to answer that question? Oh, okay, go ahead.
Sure.
Oh, Attorney Greg, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. It's an honest
pleasure.
Thank
to meet you
for
well.
Everything you're doing. I followed you and everything you're doing on this case. I'm just going to insert real quickly. I have no compassion or sympathy for R. Kelly. He's a grown man. He did things that in my 25 years, I've had people locked up on 25-year sentences, 40, 50, and life sentences for a lot less evidence, with a lot less allegations, with a lot less history. So he got the privilege card that we talk about so often because he's gotten away with this for a generation. And you know, the chickens have come home to roost. And so when you investigate these crimes, see, America looks at TV and they think this is – the first 48, or they think this is Law and Order that's on TV. The real courtroom and preparing a case is a lot different. That's why I have so much respect for Attorney Griggs. He says something that's very relevant. As much as I speak up and advocate for police reform, I'm not speaking up to say all black men are innocent. In order to be taken serious in the court of police reform, or whether it's the criminal justice system reform or the court system reform, you have to be fair. And not say, well, this person is a brother, so he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Amber Evans is missing. Maybe some of the brothers can focus their energy over there, get up to Columbus Police, look for her. You know, and the attorney's absolutely right. This case, he's done an excellent job of laying it out, and I think he explained it where people don't know, and he said something that was key. Read and research what is going on. Stop listening to sound bites assuming you know the case. Because for the men, ask yourself, if any one of these women was your daughter, and R. Kelly did this to your daughter, would you not be in an orange jumpsuit with some plastic slides on cheesing in front of a county camera the next day?
Thank you. All right, Attorney Griggs, you were saying you wanted to address something that I said.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I love the fact that people read books and think they know how the law works. I mean, we can't jump all the way to, oh, if R. Kelly's convicted, then all types of innocent men who've been acquitted can be retried. We got to understand something. R. Kelly's victims span 25 years, and they're new victims.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just prosecuting him for what he did in 1998 or 2000. He did something right during the trial. There's a victim that happened while he was on trial. So this man was flaunting the law while he was on bond and right after he was acquitted. And so we got to know the facts. And I get tired of armchair attorneys because the law works if you work it. And so I don't really want to hear from somebody who hadn't practiced law, who hadn't tried murder cases, who hadn't tried rape cases, who haven't been in the system. Yeah, you can have gone through the system, but you haven't been in the system where you know how it works. And so my issue is don't try to put the whole system in this one case. Yes, there are brothers that are being railroaded, like my sister Michelle Alexander so eloquently put in The New Jim Crow. But there are also brothers who are career criminals. So like former officer just said, we got to have some balance in this conversation because we have to take care of our own community. And that means that some people have to be held accountable because I have a daughter. It's taken everything within me to keep my clients from doing something that would run afoul of the law because of what we know Mr. Kelly has done. I would ask all the men who are trying to say this is about bringing down black men to take a step back for a moment and think about if your child was lured away at a concert venue by a 52-year-old man locked in a room with 20 other women, forced to do all kinds of things with other women, forced to eat and do whatever he says, forced to go on national TV and say what he says while he's coughing and making sure you stay on script. This is a conversation we got to have. Because, yes, before I knew all this, I used to love to listen to I Believe I Can Fly and Step in the Name of Love. But once I really started listening and learning and started re-looking at Age ain't nothing but a number. Step in the name of love, bump and grind. I don't see nothing wrong. Go back and look at the words. And then listen to I Admit. I mean, who puts a 19-minute album out there that makes fun of this? And then go listen to his brother. Go listen to Carrie talk about his brother. Then go listen to Drea talk about her husband. Then go listen to his child, his own daughter. All these people lying on R. Kelly, on Robert Sylvester Kelly. Go listen to Bruce. Matter of fact, how many of y'all really did watch Surviving R. Kelly? Because that was the G-rated version of what's going on. So that's all I'm going to say. People, do your research. I mean, I love right. some of the people that are on social media, but don't believe a soundbite. Don't believe one post. Do your own independent research and start coming to these courtrooms and start seeing how the system really works. And join us on the front line. So I thank y'all for the time. As you can see, I'm very invested in this case, and I take it personal when folks right. start trying to pull my card.
Right. And then one last thing. You said something. Speaking of making fun of, how does the fact that he went to McDonald's soon after he got out of jail, how does that play into all of this? Was he making fun of this, taking it lightly, or is it that he just hasn't moved on? Because he was molested. And what if we're dealing with someone who isn't intellectually, you know, hasn't matured? I'm having a difficult time digesting all of this.
I'm sorry. If you read Frederick Douglass's book, how Frederick Douglass taught himself how to read, okay, I don't have any compassion for this man. You are illiterate because you want to be illiterate right now. You are 52 years old. You have had over $150 million, and you couldn't get somebody to tutor you? I'm sorry, I have no compassion. And so
what about the fact
to,
he was molested too, Attorney Griggs?
He was molested at 8 years old by Teresa. I know that. He was molested by Teresa, but so was Carrie. You don't see Carrie preying on people.
Right.
When I say I know the facts of this case.
Yeah.
Hey, Val, if I can insert real quick, a lot of serial rapists historically, which are historically predominantly white, not exclusively, but predominantly white males, and almost in every serial rapist case and serial killer case, we find that the serial killers have been molested as a child. And so we are not so willing to step forward and give them a benefit of a doubt when it comes to them. You know, and this is no different. The fact that he was abused and he's a serial rapist, I mean, that's par for the course. But I think when we look at, when we see this with white males who are serial killers, serial murderers, or Dylan Ruth and these violent guys who walk into churches and so forth, we find that they've experienced some kind of emotional trauma, but we're not ready to give them a pass. So I view it on an equal plane.
Yeah. And, I mean, here's the purpose of the criminal justice system. It's supposed to punish and rehabilitate. He needs help, and so he can get help in prison. They have courses mm-hmm. and counselors and all that in prison mm-hmm. for him to rehabilitate himself. But right now he needs to be removed from society, so not one other person. And notice I said person. I didn't just say woman.
Right.
It's home.
Yeah.
I told you it was a G-rated version.
Well, thank you, Attorney Griggs. I appreciate that. Appreciate everything that you do. And, again, please stop by as often as you like. Keep us abreast of what's going on and definitely take advantage of the fact that we definitely want to assist your efforts. So at this time, if you could go on and give us your contact information and anything else, is there a way that we could help you or the Savage family or any of the other, anybody else who's involved? Is there any way that we could assist their efforts? Any websites?
Yes, definitely.
GoFundMe.
You can follow me on all social media at Attorney Griggs, AttorneyGriggs, or at my website, www.geraldagriggs.com. And if you really want to help us support the survivors, go watch Surviving R. Kelly, six-part documentary on Lifetime, or watch Gayle King special tonight, the R. Kelly interview, where she's going to interview now some of the survivors, and they're going to be able to tell their story and their experiences with Robert Sylvester Kelly. And keep an open mind. I'm not telling you to join my position on Mr. Kelly. I'm just telling you to research and to think for yourselves and study for yourselves, and let's help fix this problem, whether it's police brutality, whether it's crime in the African-American community, whether it's sexual predation in our community. We have to fix our community, and it takes us. We got to join together. We don't need to be separated. We may disagree, and we can disagree amicably, but we don't have to attack each other on social media. And so I'm just asking you guys to pray for these victims, pray for Mr. Kelly, and let's hope he gets the help he needs in prison.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. I hope you get some sleep, and I definitely appreciate you more than words can express. And, yeah, you know, I'll be bugging you sometime in the very near future. So, again, we love your life and appreciate you so much. And be safe out there. And I'm definitely going to, do my part. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you for opening the platform. All right.
Good night. All right. So that was Attorney Gerald Griggs. He does have a website. So please just go to GeraldGriggs.com. I think it's GeraldAGriggs.com. I could be wrong, but just Google it and you'll find a wealth of information regarding this case and past cases. And, if you need an attorney, he is in the Atlanta area, so look him up. And he's also involved in several organizations. I think NAACP is one of them. But anyway, so Officer Stan, let's keep this thing moving. Wow, that was pretty powerful, right?
I tell you what, that brother's focused. And he's very detailed, and he has a purpose. And that's a dangerous thing.
Right.
A driven man with knowledge, facts, and a purpose is dangerous. And he did a good job of really breaking it down and going through without exposing facts about the case that could lead to a mistrial. He did an excellent job giving us insight into how many victims there were and sort of being a focal point where people can go to learn facts. That's why your show is so important, because now people don't have to go to 20 different websites and 20 different YouTube sites. They can come listen to this show, get this information, go straight to his page and know what they need to know. You know,
and
so I applaud you and everything that you do and bringing people like this to the forefront so where we get it straight, no chaser, you know, without the side venues and caveats. And, you know, so I it was an honor just to be on the phone with him, because the man puts in work.
Right.
He does.
And I just want to make it clear why quite often I'm torn, because, okay, so you have this person. Right. You know, I am a lover of man. I love people, and I hate it when we stand by and watch someone self-destruct. Like, I have a huge problem with that. Right. And so what I'm saying is, again, like, for a quick second, because I know at any point in time, he has to be held accountable. He could have stopped himself, gotten the necessary help. ... I understand all of that. But it's just like we keep talking about mental health. We keep talking about Stockholm Syndrome. We keep talking about a lot of things in this country. And you know, even as when I'm doing these shows, you know, I have to unplug from the matrix, because it's like, it's a lot. You know what I mean? It's like you just, the things that you deal with, people don't understand how much research, the stories, you know, how people pour into me. They're asking me for, you know, help. You're one person, and I couldn't even imagine being 8 years old, being molested, you know, growing up in Chicago. I don't know what it's like to grow up there, but for rumor has it, you know, I don't know what the environment's like. I don't know what it's like to be a black man. I don't know what it's like to become famous at an early age. I don't know what it's like to have a lot of money. I don't know what it's like to have a bunch of women around you. I do want to know what it's like to be a girlfriend of a celebrity who has a bunch of women, you know, just will do anything, you know, just for a like or a storyline or some money. I couldn't even imagine one person having to deal with all of that. But then, you know, on top of that, when you see that a person is going down the wrong path, I think that you are of sound mind. You should do what you can. Go out of your way to get this person the necessary help. I think that you should not just assist his efforts, you know, be a person who just like says yes to this, to the insanity. You should do something, because whether you like this person or want to take advantage of the moment, this person is going to go out and hurt other people. You know what I'm saying? So let it be bigger than you and bigger than the person. What about all the other lives that this person is going to affect? And not only the person, but what about the families or the communities? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just keeps spilling over. And when all it took was one person to say, you know what, this is wrong, stop it. You know, I don't care what they would have had to do. They should have stopped this long time ago. Everybody on the face of the planet knew he was married to Aaliyah. We knew this. But then, you know, it's come out, oh, you know, his uncle introduced him and left this young, innocent child in, you know, the care of this person. Just why would you do that? You know what I mean? Like, look at what happened. Then you look up, and then she's hanging out with Jay-Z. She's hanging out with Damon Dash. Is she being passed around? You start asking questions. What happened? Could they have saved this person? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many people were allowed to take advantage of this person because somebody didn't come in and say, you know what, this person is sick, so I'm not going to put this person around them. And then all those other kids, where were the parents? Why would you, like they keep talking about Michael Jackson, why are you dropping your child off? If you feel this way, why the hell would you let him spend the night? I mean, literally, what are we saying? What are we doing? Like you said, you'd be in an orange suit with flip-flops, eating, you know, begging for commissary, because there's absolutely no way that a sane parent or friend or I don't care. What is happening to us as a people that we would sacrifice all for what? You know what I mean? Because if you let this one person go, he is going to hurt how many people and how many families and how many communities? We're going to have the same conversation. The same conversation. And this has happened so many times. My father, like you, my father would have killed a whole bunch of people. He wouldn't have given a good goddamn. He don't touch his seed. My mother, same thing. Would have just lost it. Me, I don't have kids. But I cannot imagine if I know somebody's hurting someone innocent, I'm not just going to stand. I don't just going to sit there and just watch that happen. And even if I didn't have the power or authority to do it, hell, report it anonymously. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you got to do, why would you just sit and watch? This is crazy.